great to welcome you on this Pentecost Sunday, a great day of celebration, the birthday of the church, the time when we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon God's people, and from there the great witness of love and joy that went out across the world, resulting in the gospel coming to us and us being able to worship the God who is present with us now by his Holy Spirit. I hope you like the syncopated colours for Holy Spirit Sunday and the way in which the church is decorated for us to celebrate this great event. We're going to worship God together in a few moments in song, but we're going to begin by saying some words of prayer, inviting God to be present with us. So let's stand together. Just be still for a moment as we just become aware, alert to the fact that God's Spirit is present. Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. Jesus himself, you remember, spoke of his promise to the disciples that the Holy Spirit would come. In Luke's Gospel, we hear him say, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." A few days. What did he mean by that? Well, as it turned out, it was only 10 days. And the disciples were gathered together. They were having their breakfast, probably. Some Rice Krispies, maybe. But they had a bit more of snap, crackle and pop than they imagined. Let's read these words together on the screen, and they'll get louder and louder. And we want to say them with great passion and thanksgiving. Let's just start quietly. Listen to the music behind. Together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Hallelujah. We are going to worship the Lord who we celebrate today as we wait upon God. We're waiting for God to come among us. Use our hands to worship God. In the next song, we're going to use our flags and instruments if you'd like to. But this is a song where we can use our whole bodies. Because the disciples said where they were continually in the temple, waiting and praising God and blessing the Lord with great expectation in our hearts. And that's where we've come with expectation, Lord. Fill us, we pray.
Waiting here for you.
know that the prophet said that those who wait on the Lord, who come to God with expectation in their hearts and are focused on worshipping Him, shall renew their strength. That inner strength will rise up. We'll be able to soar like wings like eagles, and run and not grow faint, and walk and not grow weary. And be in this song, which remind each other of that truth. Plenty of the children want to come and get those flags and worship the Lord, use instruments to do so, and find our strength renewed as we wait with expectation on the God who is coming among us. Please do it. Us, and we pray that the gifts that we bring to you today and throughout the month in different ways may be an offering that you would accept and that you would use to extend your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do be seated. Now, over these last 10, 11 days, we've been doing exactly that. We've been waiting upon God. And we've been praying that prayer that Jesus taught us as we wait for Him to come among us in a new way, that His kingdom would come, His rule on earth would be seen, that life would be as God intends it to be. And I want to thank There's many, many people who have been involved in making that happen, whether it's running events here or putting on things in different ways that we've been able to do at home. It's been a tremendous experience being able to join in that time. And we're going to hear a little bit now from Polly, who's one of our youth leaders, about how the young people have been waiting and how expectation has been developed through those young people's hearts and minds. If you'd like to come forward, Polly, and just help us to see something of the way in which God's been at work among some of our younger folk, which is so exciting to hear. Just come and tell us a little bit about what you've been praying and how you've been doing it and what they've been able to bring to God.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of a testimony, really. We had a meeting about the Kingdom Come and everything that was happening. I only actually went to one meeting. And as we sat in it, they kind of asked Helen, who kind of heads up the prayer stuff, asked if Chaos could get involved in doing some of the artwork and things on the walls. And Liz, who heads up the team, was in there. We've got a great team. But Liz kind of makes the ultimate decisions. And she's like, yeah, yeah, no problem. And I was a bit like, seriously? These are teenagers and you're asking them to do something about prayer and you're asking them to do art and craft. I was just like, no way. But I went along with it because she's the leader and I'm there to serve. It came to the Sunday night and the Sunday morning Liz was actually poorly and she said she wasn't going to make it. And so I was kind of like, okay, no problem, trying to keep my servant heart. And like, oh my life, now I'm actually going to have to be involved in this in a more serious way. So we got there and then I thought, it's okay, I'll just pray. I'll get there at 5 o'clock and pray with the team who pray diligently at 5 o'clock and then, you know, God will just take over. And then the night was a bit hectic for you guys, for the team setting up, and so there was a prayer at 5 o'clock. And so I'm nearly really panicking now. And so I headed back into the room and I was just like, I'm just going to pray on my own. So I was just praying, going, God, like every verse I could think about, like his grace is sufficient, like it's going to be fine. But there was a real sense that actually I had no confidence in this and that God was just going to have to do something. He was going to have to show up and do something. And so then the Chaos guys came in and Annie was with us as well, which was brilliant. So she was really motivating. And we just went, okay, guys, we need to do something for Thy Kingdom Come. It's the prayer room. Here's some crafts and stuff. We've got everything that's possible. Go for it. We're just going to pray. And so we literally just prayed and said, Lord Jesus, would you just come and help us, you know, to serve our church and be involved in our church and just Holy Spirit, just come and show us. We just prayed and literally waited on God. So anyway, the night went on and the guys did their, we got a lot of engineering guys and they're really clever, the boys. And they just set to it straight away and they were building a 3D well and we were just like, okay. You can see the pictures here. But anyway, let me cut a long story short. By the end of it, we had this well, which is on the left there, which is a 3D well. And the scriptures that are on it are amazing. I will just tell you, one of them is Jacob's well, and the scripture is John 4. Jesus met the Samaritan woman. Pray about how you can meet other people where they are. Now that's coming from one of our Chaos kids. Like, I was just blown away by that. And I was reading some of the other scriptures. As you can see, there's other, the artwork there that's come out of it. But it was just a real testimony to me of what God can do and what God is doing it. Even though in the natural, with my natural eyes, I didn't see this and I really doubted and I had to ask forgiveness for that. But they produced the most amazing stuff from the foundations of what's in them together with God's power. Like they produced this stuff that came out. And I'd encourage you to go and have a look. Because it's absolutely amazing, the scriptures that have come out of there, they've put like, pray for suffering to end, pray for families, pray for the environment. There's a picture there of a door and it says Jesus is knocking. Like, if anyone out of the mouths of babes, then this is the stuff. You know? Is anyone in Chaos in here? Are any of the Chaos crew here? I don't want to embarrass you.
They'll be coming this evening, I expect.
Yeah, hopefully. I just want to say, they just did an amazing job, but it was just a real testimony of me, what God can do. as we trust in him and wait on him and what he did and what he is doing in our younger generation.
Thank you, Polly. That's a great encouragement. Wonderful. Superb. Oh, let's pray for our young people and children as they go to their groups. Lord, we just thank you for the way in which you work through all ages in this church and across the world. And we pray that as our children, young people, their leaders and helpers would go to their groups now, we pray that they might experience something afresh of your spirit of life and that they may know that they're loved by you and always will be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. And if there are young people and children need to go to their groups now, let's stand together. And if you see any people that you're not sure that you know very well, please just go and say hi, introduce yourselves to them, and let's have a time getting to know each other a little bit more than we normally do. Lovely. Let's come back together again. And now it's a special opportunity to meet some people that maybe you don't know. And that's one of the great things, I think, that Pentecost reminds us of, that people were able to speak in the languages of those that they didn't know. And being able to build relationships with people is one of the great gifts of love that the Holy Spirit brings to us. God, by his Spirit, comes and fills us. But he's a Holy Spirit, or she is referred to in the Hebrew and the Greek as the Holy Spirit is referred to as a she. And so God comes because there is holiness in the heart of God, comes when we ourselves are able to be cleansed. That's why Christ died for us, in order to make us holy people. He rose again to bring us to life and then sends his Spirit in order that we might be full of his life. And so we're going to begin this time of worship by a time of repentance, that God might cleanse us from within so that we might be clean and holy people. Later in the service, we're going to be hearing from the words of the prophet Joel. And this prophet called people to repentance, perhaps more than any other. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, says, "Rend your hearts, tear your hearts open, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. So we come to repent in a moment of quiet. If there's anything that we feel we want to say personally to the Lord in our hearts that we want his forgiveness for. Or maybe we've just turned away from God, ignored his love, his life, the beauty of his creation, his gift in every moment. We need to return to the Lord and experience his graciousness and his compassionate heart. So we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, when we forget the power that lies within and trust instead upon our human strength. Remind us again of that glorious day when your Spirit transformed the lives of those who hid in fear into people of power. Renew these hearts which have grown cold with flames of fire as on that Pentecost, that we might truly be the church you desire. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Empower us as you did the prophets of old. Give us courage and sensitivity in our witness to our family, our friends, and all whom we meet on our front lines. Grant us commitment to work with your life-giving Spirit in the renewal of your creation. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, that our faith may be enriched. Fill us with your Spirit, that our lives may be empowered. Fill us with your Spirit, that our witness may be authentic. Fill us with your Spirit, that your kingdom may come. just be open to whatever the Lord wants to do in us and through us. Maybe breathing deeply, letting Him fill our lungs with His breath of life. Jesus promised the Father gives good gifts to His children. The Father gives good things. Will not your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We're asking you, Lord, to fill us afresh. Maybe even fill us for the first time with in a way that we've never experienced before, with your life. Lord, as we receive your life, so may we learn to live that life, not only within the life of the church, but in particular the life that we lead every single day on our front lines, on the places where we go, with the people that we meet, that we might be a blessing to those around us. That we might speak of you, Lord Jesus, and all that you are, and use words if necessary. Thank you, Lord.
Addictions cause to break.
Let us allow ourselves to enter into the faith of the whole church throughout the world. A faith that we share because the Holy Spirit is present among all people, in all places, in all continents, at all times. And so we affirm what we believe to be true of this bright and amazing God. Words of the Creed together. We say together, we believe in a bright and amazing God who has been to the depths of despair on our behalf, who has risen in splendor and majesty, and has sent the Holy Spirit to be in the world. We believe that God is present in the darkness before dawn, in the waiting and uncertainty, where fear and courage join hands, conflict and caring link arms, and the sun rises over bombed buildings. We believe in a with us God, who has come to where we are, who shares our humanity, and is with us now in his love. And so we affirm a faith that takes us beyond the safe place to live with those on the edge, to choose life and be used by the Holy Spirit in the building of God's new community of hope. We believe that Jesus is the hope for the world, and we commit ourselves to living the kingdom in this world today. Amen. We're going to pray now for the kingdom's coming among us as Carol and Ian lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you, waiting and remembering your promise to us to be clothed with power from on high, so that we are expectant to receive anew your peace and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for our restored, deep and complete relationship with you. Lord, in your mercy.
Father God, we thank you for the environment, your creation. Forgive us for complacency and the devastation created by man. We pray for world governments to be united as they tackle the issue of climate change and global warming. Help each one of us to be responsible stewards of the environment for future generations. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father God, we pray for our government and all political leaders. May there be more integrity, respect and honesty shown by these individuals. Give them wisdom in these challenging times. May those Christians from all parties have courage, boldness, and strength to stand up for the moral and godly values which are being eroded from society. May political leaders have their own Pentecostal revelation of you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father God, we bring before you the cost of living crisis. And think locally of known individuals and families who've been affected by this. We bring before you the local organisations such as CAP, Food Bank, Littleton Well and the Octagon Centre. We We pray for all those involved and ask that individuals will receive their own Pentecost moment as they journey through these challenging times, coming to know your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we bring before you the wars and conflicts from around the world, in particular Ukraine and the city of Bakhmut. We pray for justice and peace to prevail and for the loss of life to stop. We pray for your miraculous intervention in these seemingly hopeless situations. We pray for your protection and strength on those Christians meeting today in these areas of trouble and conflict. Strengthen their faith and give them hope where there seems none. We pray for leaders from all sides that they may have a Pentecost revelation of you. Lord, in your mercy.
We thank you for thy kingdom come prayers, joining with those who have named specific requests and the five people we have each prayed for. In quietness, let's remember these. The wind blew, the fire of the Holy Spirit gives us strength and spoken word to proclaim the gospel. Holy Spirit, equip us now to demonstrate and proclaim your kingdom here and to share the evidence of this with our own ongoing show and tell testimonies. May we find all of you in all your fullness throughout each day. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We join together in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
As Helen, the moment comes to speak and to enable us to enter into more fully into that great passage from Joel that we spoke of earlier. I just want to highlight that this evening at 6 o'clock, there is a special service for Pentecost at All Saints. There's no service here this evening, but tonight with coffee at 5:45. Please do go and experience that opportunity to gather together this evening. And then next Saturday, opportunity to gather for men at 8:30 for breakfast together. Okay, Helen's going to come now and to lead us into God's word. Thank you.
Shall we pray together as we do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here. Please open us up now to all that you have for us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God's timing is always perfect. He's never too early or too late. He's always bang on time. And you can see it when you look at what Christians call salvation history. That's the story of God's forgiveness and the promise of new life. So take Easter, Now, I know we're going back in time a little bit here, but just bear with me. We'll get on to Pentecost in a minute. But if we take Easter, there are in fact two gospel events that take place at this time. Christians tell the story of Jesus' death on the cross, the empty tomb. And, of course, there is also a further story to be told at Easter that's part of God's salvation plan through time. And that's the history of God's people in the time before Jesus and the way in which the Jewish festival of Passover fits within the story of Jesus. Because Passover remembers an escape, not from the slavery of sin, but from the slavery of physical imprisonment. And at the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his friends on the night before he died, each one of the items shown here would have been on a shared plate before those disciples. And the items tell the story of how the Old Testament people of God escaped the slavery of Egypt and came to settle in the Promised Land. It was about thanking God for his salvation. Each element of food represents something from the story. There are, for example, bitter herbs to remind them of how terrible it was to be a nation enslaved. And there was always a lamb shank bone. The lamb that was prepared and killed for this purpose had to be spotless with no blemishes. And it was a reminder that on the night of their escape from Egypt, the blood of the slaughtered lamb had to be plastered around the door frames of their homes. So when the angel of death passed over Egypt, God's people were spared the death of their firstborn sons, as opposed to the Egyptians. The blood of the lamb on their doorposts gave them protection. The judgment of God did not fall on the Israelite people. They were passed over, hence the feast of Passover. They were able to escape from slavery in Egypt to the freedom of the Promised Land. So when Jesus came to Jerusalem at Passover, it was to complete this story of a shed blood that brings forgiveness. Yet his salvation would extend not just to the Jewish people, but to the whole earth. And the way it all happened was God's perfect timing. Because Jesus became the new Paschal or Passover lamb. In the Gospels, John the Baptist took one look at Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Zurbaran's Lamb of God, I think it's still in the Prado in Madrid, expresses this so wonderfully. It's the one on the left here. And even so, what is at first sight a rather odd-looking altarpiece in Ghent by Jan van Eyck also expresses about Easter and the link to Passover. Because here we see blood flowing from a lamb who represents Jesus, and it's flowing into a communion cup. We drink the wine just as Jesus commanded at that Last Supper, that Passover meal, to remember that the perfect Lamb of God shed his blood, that our sins might be forgiven. No wonder in heaven the chorus rings out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." So what has this got to do with Pentecost? Well, with Pentecost, the timing is no less profound. First of all, Pentecost is about first fruits. I well remember the first tomatoes that I grew in Malvern. It was during the first lockdown, and I was so pleased with them that I didn't want to eat them straight away. So I brought them inside. You can tell that they're mine and not bought from a supermarket because they're not quite perfect. But I put them on the windowsill in pride of place, and I gave thanks as I ate them, knowing that 2020 was going to be, in my garden at least, a bumper year for tomatoes. And it turned out to be a year in which the COVID pandemic gave me the time to make homemade tomato soup for the first time in my life. And Pentecost was a bit like that. Not that you were making soup, but it was a Jewish harvest festival in which you could bring the first of your crop in joyful thanksgiving to God, knowing there was more to come. It was what brought all sorts of Jewish and God-fearing people into Jerusalem. People from different countries who spoke many different languages, a crowd that was to give a ready-made audience for Peter's gospel sermon. And the timing, yet again, had God's hand upon it. This Jewish harvest festival is known as the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after Passover. Pentecost is a later Greek name indicating the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost. But this harvest festival, this Feast of Weeks, is a festival of first fruits. And of course, at Pentecost, when the Christian church was born, it was just the start. Those people who were converted on that first day of Pentecost were the first fruits of all that was to come, of a gathering in of people who believe in Jesus. So what's going on that feeds into this miraculous timing? Well, first of all, there's lots of prayer. Post-ascension, in the days running up to the feast, the book of Acts records that the disciples spent their time praying, waiting on God to see what he would do. And we've been modelling that, well, copying it in a sense, over the last 10 days with Thy Kingdom Come prayer season. And we've heard a little bit about it earlier on. And we've been praying in that time in anticipation for people to become Christians, for a harvest gathering in, as it were, of people. And secondly, Pentecost is a season in which God shows his power in miraculous ways. It's the start of the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that once he was ascended, whoever believes in me, he said, will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things, John 14:12. From Pentecost onwards, we see power released for witness, power to facilitate miracles and healings, and power to face down the opposition, even to the point of martyrdom. As Jesus promised at his ascension, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. At Pentecost, there is prayer and there is power. And thirdly, there is prophecy. Now, with all this brilliant timing, God had Pentecost in view from the start. It was never just an add-on. In fact, we find it being prophesied centuries before by the prophet Joel. And Jin's going to come up now and to give us that prophecy from Joel that Simon Peter quotes in his first sermon. And we're going to hear that reading now. So you can be looking that up in the Bible as he comes to read it to us.
Morning. Joel chapter 2, verses 18 to 32 on page 914. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I'm sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern horde far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Its eastern ranks will drown in the Dead Sea and its western ranks in the Mediterranean Sea. And its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Did you hear that as Jim read it? Centuries before, this prophecy about pouring out the Spirit was in the context of harvest and abundance. And so, as with every good sermon, Peter bases his talk around this particular passage of Scripture. And then he goes on to tell people the story of Jesus. And it's interesting because, of course, he has an audience who know about Jewish things. They are, after all, in Jerusalem for the feast. And so Peter shows how Jesus fulfills the promises and prophecies of the Old Testament. And he ends with this in Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Repent, therefore, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, as you know, his listeners take the message to heart, and the power of God falls on them. And with God's perfect timing, the day of Pentecost brings everything together: prayer, power, and prophecy. The prayer prepared the way. The power of God was such that no one could see that there were miracles taking place. And the prophecy of Joel was fulfilled. Now, just briefly, there might be some of us here who are wondering what prophecy is all about. Well, very briefly, prophecy is about proclaiming God's words. And there are two main types. There is foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling speaks of something that will happen in the future. And here's a good example from the prophet Isaiah, telling us centuries ahead about the way in which Jesus would die. Forthtelling tells us something on the heart of God that is looking for a response. It's not just giving you information on the future, but inviting you to interact with what is on God's heart. And often the two are mingled together. That is exactly what we find in our reading from Joel, where God shares what he has in mind for the future while at the same time revealing a heart of love and compassion. The prophet Joel talks about restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. There will be abundant harvests. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. And then he moves in to the prophetic words regarding a physical harvest culminating in a spiritual harvest. And afterwards, Joel 2, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Under God's timing, that's what happened at Pentecost. The crowd who are in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks to give thanks for the grain harvest hear that there is more than a harvest of grain going on, that there is a spiritual harvest too. And they're invited to take part in what God is doing. Having heard the prophecy, they cry, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Prophecy, prayer, power. All are intrinsic to Pentecost. But there's even a yet more important P of Pentecost. And that's a P for presence. The presence of God. At any harvest festival, we take our eyes off the gifts and focus on the giver. We receive a gift and give it back in humble, thankful praise. Prophecy, prayer, and power are spiritual gifts given by God to his people. But ultimately, they're designed to draw us into focusing on the Lord himself. The mistake we so often make is to seek the power more than the presence. We're so prone to look to God for the things that he can do for us and not for his sake alone. But our focus should be not on God's power, but on his presence, on him, himself. Or as someone once said, seek his face, not his hand. Seek his face, not his hand. I was very struck by an image that our rector Dave gave us just before he went on sabbatical. He showed us a jug that was full to overflowing. It illustrated a person brimming over with the Holy Spirit, immersed in the presence of God. And he said how much he longed for this for all of us, as well as for himself. And at Pentecost, that's exactly what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, Acts 2, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the presence of God. Above all else, Pentecost is about presence. Gathered in expectant prayer. And I feel we'd be so expectant in this service this morning. Gathered in that place, the disciples felt the very breath of God enter the room. The presence of God was palpable. The Holy Spirit came like a mighty wind. And there was, quote, what seemed to be tongues of fire. Now, in terms of the presence of God, this image is hugely significant. Joe mentioned it earlier. Moses in the wilderness found a bush that did not burn. And out of it, the voice of God spoke. In the wilderness wanderings, the presence of God was indicated by a pillar of fire. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, the prophet has a vision of the throne room of God set within a fire that does not burn. Fire is associated with holiness. When Moses approaches the burning bush, he hears a voice. "Do not come any closer," God says. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Fire is associated with cleansing and refining. This is holy fire that comes to rest on these people in the upper room. And fire refines, fire gets rid of the rubbish so that only what is good remains. So when, to quote Acts 2, what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each individual, this group of Jewish people would have recognized its significance immediately. Here was the holy presence of God resting on each one of them. They weren't even at a distance. God was coming that close, resting upon each one of them. And by the way, Acts 1 makes it clear there were more than 12 people in that upper room, unlike our slide, because their number had been growing. But as the Spirit came to rest on each one, they would have been in awe of the presence of God in that place. And not only was it a holy place, they were now holy people. With the tongues of fire resting on each one of them, they overflowed with the Holy Spirit. It was heaven come down. And this presence of God that was within them was carried out into the local community to share the good news of Jesus. Now, this experience is not just for 2,000 years ago. God continues to work today by his Holy Spirit. A few years ago, I was at a conference. I could give you endless examples, really, of the work of the Holy Spirit today. But I just thought I'd share something personal that sticks in my mind, because for me it was quite a particular time. So I was at this conference, and there we were in the midst of some sung worship. And I think I was pretty focused on the presence of God. And then all of a sudden, my legs started shaking. Never happened to me before. I was in good health. And then my whole body. And I had a real sense of being caught up in the presence of God. My mind had no other focus than God and the shaking in my legs. And to be honest, I really was amazed. Like, nothing like this had ever happened to me before. But it felt very reassuring to know God's hand upon me. And it seemed to me to achieve no practical purpose. What was it about? So the following day, I doubted it had ever happened at all, to be honest. And at the time it went on, I'd been standing next to a wooden balustrade that I grabbed onto to steady myself. So the following morning, I went back to check on this panelling. Maybe it was a bit wobbly, and I just wobbled with it, a bit like this lectern. No, it was rock solid. God really had blessed me with his presence. Why? I don't know. Maybe his love, he just wanted to. Maybe he knew I'd be preaching this sermon today and gave me it ahead so I could share it. But he filled me afresh with his Holy Spirit. And he did it in his way, not mine. Sometimes he likes to surprise us. So in one sense, we don't know what's going to happen when we pray for that infilling of the Holy Spirit. We've already prayed. I feel there's such a sense of expectation. Now just imagine this holy fire coming and resting on each one of us. I mean, in the early church, there were many different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus that the wind of the Spirit likes to choose how and where he likes to work. What is important is just to be open as we sit in the presence of the Lord. And so this morning, we're going to take a few minutes to ask the wind of the Spirit to blow through St. Andrew's and allow the holy fire of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, that we may be filled afresh. And we're going to do this so that we... I think it'd be a good idea, actually, if we all stood. And if we put our hands out in a moment of expectation and looking to the Lord... As I've said before, the Spirit comes in many ways. He may bring you joy or peace. You may feel nothing, but be assured that God is at work in this place this morning. You don't have to feel anything at all, but you might. You might have an unexpected experience of the shaking legs. I don't know. But let's just ask the Lord now to cleanse us afresh, Lord, from our sins. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. We seek your presence here, Lord. Come, Lord, to each individual person. Come upon us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Do what you want to do for each one of us today. Fill us afresh, we ask. Breathe on us, breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, so that we might do what you would do. Go where you would go. See what you would see. Speak what you would speak. Have your words in us to share your heart of love for this community. And beyond. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in this attitude of prayer. I'm going to ask the band to come up and play our last song. And whilst they're doing that, there's an invitation to come for prayer ministry at the front. And so can I invite prayer ministers to come to the front and to be ready to receive anybody who would like just to underline anything, or who just wants something, they just need a bit more, a bit deeper with God, just need someone to pray with them. Maybe there's something that needs releasing in your life, something that you need to offer to him, something that you would like him to do for you. We're here for one another. We're here to serve, as was said earlier. So come to be served by someone who can pray for you. Pray with you, can hear for maybe a prophetic word from the Lord for you. If you have to go and collect children, I'd like to say that this is an opportunity. Your children won't be ready to receive you yet. If you've got to go and collect children, come and be prayed for now. You don't have to wait until after the service. And just as we were worshipping earlier, I just had a sense that this is for parents of young children. And if there's any lady here who is pregnant, then can I encourage you to come for prayer? You know, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. So if there's anybody who would like prayer for themselves or their baby, can I invite you to come as we sing our final song together. Our service is coming to a close now. If you want to move through to coffee, then please do so when we've had our blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you and those whom you love, both now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming.